This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to this episode of the Avoid Probate Show. I'm here with Ted Walsh and I'm Jason Laidler. We are actually back from a short little summer holiday. Very short. Too short, Ted.
They always are.
Yeah.
They always are.
Regular listeners will know we ran a repeat show last Sunday morning. Excellent choice in the repeat, if I do say so. Pierre Lafontaine was once upon a time a guest in the studio, the head of tax and estate planning for Industrial Alliance. And I'm proud of the fact, Ted, you know, I heard the show, even though I was on, quote, vacation. I heard the show and I was pleased, you know, that we've been able to have some of these industry leaders, because we've had his counterpart from Manulife as well. The head of tax and estate planning at Manulife has been in the studio. And yeah, we talk about being independent advisors and providing independent advice. So it's good to get different opinions from different, you know, industry players, Industrial Alliance, Manulife, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing, Ted? You good?
I'm okay. The CNE is at us again. I know for a lot of people, it's sort of kind of a damper. It's a bittersweet time of the year because it's a signaling the end of summer vacations, not the end of summer, but the end of summer vacations for those who are in school. But you got 2 weeks.
Plenty of time.
I'm guilty. I haven't been to the CNE for a long time.
Nor have I. Probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years.
Well, actually, I'm kind of telling a white lie, because I did go to an Argo game a couple years ago during the CNE. So I was kind of there, but not for the CNE. But yeah, I might go this year. I still haven't been to an Argo game yet either. But wow, how they're doing great this year so far.
If you go this Friday, is the 25th, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So there's an Argo game this Friday. So you can save like $25 an adult and $15 or $20 per kids, because if you buy a ticket, it gets you into the CNE as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what happened a few years ago when I went. It was great, and happened to be, I'm not sure, it was a military day, of some military appreciation day of some sort. There was a ton of uniforms, you know, Canadian military uniforms were all through the stands, and then we heard this rumble. And this massive airplane, I don't know, I'm not going to pretend to know what it was. It wasn't a jet fighter. It was like a cargo plane of some kind, just humongous thing, flew very low over the stadium. And I could not believe the sound. The place was shaking. My bones were shaking. The floor was shaking. It was really cool.
It is pretty exciting. The air show is a pretty exciting thing, you know. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, never seen it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I might go this year. I have to admit, a little tired, a little more tired than usual, because I've been getting up very early to follow the women's world soccer games, the matches in Australia. What's that, a 15-hour time difference or something like that? So the matches lately, the semifinal matches were on at like 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. back-to-back days or something. So a little blurry-eyed, but what incredible soccer and what an incredible shot in the arm for women's sports, soccer in particular. Mm-hmm. Record crowds. You know, the Australians were in it right till almost the very end. They were in the semifinals. Unfortunately, they did not make it to the finals.
They lost 3-1.
We're not going to spoil it. Who is the winner the game is played earlier today, the finals. Yeah,
because some people, with these weird hours, and you have this during the Olympics as well, any international competition, really, when the time difference is so vast, quite often people will set their PVRs and watch it at a more convenient time.
Yeah, for those few people who still have old-fashioned cable. And, you know, the kids these days, Ted, they're streaming everything, right?
Yeah, but I think if you're streaming, well, you don't have to record.
You might be right. Maybe you can find it. Same difference.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not sure either.
I'm not sure either. I like the old-fashioned cable. My family makes fun of me. Why do you still pay for that cable? I just like it. And I love the PVR. I use the PVR for all kinds of stuff. I don't have time to sit down and, you know, watch 60 minutes when it's on or whatever the show is that I want to watch. And it's just so convenient to pull it up when I do have time and yeah. watch it then. So I like it. I'm a big fan of the PVR. Okay. Well, this is the Avoid Probate Show. We're going to talk about probate stuff. Were you going to say something, Ted?
I was just going to say, I saw a really interesting piece on CP24 on Wednesday. I think they were showing Bakari Savage, one of their news people, was doing a tour of there's a Pink Floyd exhibition going on at the CNE this year.
Oh, I didn't know that. I have no idea. I haven't looked at anything that's happening there yet.
And it looked really cool. A lot of really cool stuff that they've got there. The original guitars and the original artwork for the Dark Side of the Moon album. It's really, really nicely put together. So if you're into music and if you're into Pink Floyd especially, it looks like it would be worth your while to drop by.
Do you know what the crazy food item is this year at the food?
I don't know what it is. What is it?
I don't know. I was hoping you do. You did.
I don't know. We'll find out. When they started that, because I remember going as a young kid and they never had the crazy food items. They had the food building where you could go and you could get, they used to have like a lot of free samples. Like you could get like a little container of spaghetti from whomever it may have been that's serving the spaghetti. But now everything, I think you got to pay for everything. And still one of the most popular food items is Tiny Tim or Tiny Tom's donuts.
Donuts.
Yeah, those little donuts.
They're
tasty. My favorite, though, is still the ice cream waffles.
Okay.
Now, we used to go down every year. My grandmother used to take my grandparents had 7 grandchildren, 6 boys and 1 girl. And so she would take the oldest, and that would be 4 of us, I think. Sometimes 5 of us would go down with my grandmother. We'd leave from the church on Bathurst in Dundas, the Ukrainian church there, take the streetcar down into the CNE, we'd go to the food building, we'd grab something to eat, and then we'd march over to the bingo hall with my baba, the grandmother, and she would sit down, pull 2 or 3 cards at the same time, and then she'd give my cousin Bill, who's the oldest of the cousins, $5 or $10 or whatever it was, and so here you go, buy tickets for rides, go have fun, make sure you don't wander away from each other, and come back in an hour or whatever. So we'd go and we'd, you know, go and play in the rides and play in some of the games and come back. And inevitably, it was great for my grandmother because when it came time to leave, she had somebody to carry all the stuff that she wanted. Because she always wanted bingo, right? So one guy's carrying a garbage can, the other guy's carrying a portable vacuum cleaner, somebody else is carrying a painting that she won. So everybody's carrying something on back onto the streetcar, back to the church, and then back home.
Back in simpler times, eh, Ted?
Back in simpler times, my friend, indeed. Yes.
Okay.
Lots of fun. So
what do we got coming up on the Avoid Probate Show today?
We've got some interesting things. There was an interesting story, and you may have read this, where a judge had to decide whether an emoji was a legal and binding, I don't know what you would call it. It's like it's almost like a signature. Somebody had requested something. I can't remember exactly.
We'll talk about the details after the break.
So anyway, so if you send somebody an emoji of a thumbs up,
be careful.
Is that acknowledgement?
Be careful.
We'll find out about that for sure. And Debbie Stanley is back, and we'll find out how things are going with Roxy Mu. This is week 11 for her solving the probate puzzle, and we'll go to the email bag as well. So we got lots of great stuff for you, and we're all refreshed after a week off. So thanks for joining us. Stick around. We're back in just a moment.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a conversation, a quick conversation, to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust, because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust in a lot of ways is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question, you can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right, well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future, and we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Laidler or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Avoid Probate Show. Ted Wallerson, Jason Laidler, and we remind you that we welcome all calls and emails, questions or comments, and you can touch us, reach out and touch us several different ways. You can send us an email, info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca. Or call. There's a toll-free number for you, 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. Time once again for solving the probate puzzle. This is week 11, and Debbie Stanley with ETP Canada joins us once again. Hello, Deb.
Hello, Debbie.
Hello to both of you. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
How's life in the probate settlement avoiding world?
We are not avoiding it. We are dealing with probate here.
Yeah, right. That said, you know, I've said it on the radio before, there's two parts to this business, right? We get those calls from the people who are proactive, who say, hey, can you help me avoid probate on mom's estate before she passes? And then we get the call that says, hey, mom passed 3 weeks ago, can you help me avoid the probate? And of course, when we get those calls, guess who we forward them to? ETP Canada. And that's because that's Debbie's expertise, and she's handling, you know, the paperwork, the admin, when people were not proactive, unfortunately.
And in this case, the executor as well.
And in this case, she's acting as the executor. She's able to do that. I'm not. My license doesn't allow it, but she can.
Neither does mine.
That's a good excuse, Ted. Yeah.
Yeah, I
good.
Thought so.
So sorry to interrupt you, Debbie. You're going to start with an update on week 11. I know it's not exactly week 11 for you, but it is for us, sort of.
Yes. So the estate of Roxy Moo, if our listeners remember, we were finally able to obtain the probate check from the financial institution. Going back a little bit, we have a condo, we had a bank account that was an online only bank account, and then two brick and mortar financial institutions. Now, because we didn't have access to the cash in the online bank account, it posed a problem because we needed to liquidate some assets in order to obtain the probate check amount of $74,250.
Yeah, so let's clear. I want to be clear here because the probate check, that term might be confusing for some people. It's not a check that you received from the probate court. It's right. The opposite, right? It's the check that you needed to attach to the application for probate.
Yes, so it was a payment to the Minister of Finance.
Right.
Or so, it's the full name is estate administration tax, but most people say probate.
So in other words, it was the fee.
And, it was the fee.
And you needed to sell some stuff to get enough cash from the estate so that you could cover this fee with a check.
Exactly. Now, the hiccup here is usually you can't sell things without the certificate from the
right,
court.
Right.
So that was our chicken and the egg kind of situation because I technically can't sell anything without proof that I'm actually the executor and I have this probate certificate or a certificate of appointment, call it what you would.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do some begging.
And who did you go begging to? The financial institution?
We went to the financial institution and they were willing to work with us, but there was a lot of hoops to jump through. You know, they have their own compliance department. So I'm actually not, knocking on the financial institution in this particular case. It was a little bit frustrating, but I understand the predicament they were in. So in the end, what they wanted was permission to prove that we had permission from the beneficiaries to do the sale for that purpose. So they wanted it for their own risk, right? They didn't really care about my risk, but I understand.
I understand that. And just to, again, to clarify, I tell people when they're confused about the probate process, because everybody is, believe me, I mean, I don't have to tell you, and so much misinformation and confusion out there. And one of the ways I try to simplify it so people can understand it is that the probate process gives the executor, i.e. in this case, Debbie Stanley, the probate certificate that she's talking about, gives her magical powers to sell stuff she doesn't own. And that's what the executor gets to do. I can't just decide tomorrow to sell Ted Walsh's house. I don't own it. But if he's gone and he's asked me to be the executor and the province through the probate process recognizes that, well, now I have the authority, like Debbie's saying, she had the authority. Well, she didn't have the authority. They bent the rules a little bit by getting permissions from the beneficiaries in this case. But that's what the probate process does. It A, recognizes that this is the will we're going to go with, because there could be others. And B, you are the person who now gets magical powers to sell stuff you don't own. Right?
Yes. I want to start holding a fairy wand now that you said magical powers.
I see the wings. I can see the wings on your back.
Yes. So luckily, after several weeks, there was a lot of back and forth because they wanted permission from the beneficiaries and then they wanted permission to mail it to us. There was quite a bit of back and forth. And if listeners remember, several weeks ago, I think I vented my frustrations one day saying, but I'm the executor. So these are the things that you can expect when you're an executor. But we finally got that and we did submit a couple weeks ago to the court, the probate application, the check, everything. And now we're in that waiting, holding period.
The court, which court?
We're dealing with appeal court.
Appeal court. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So I expect it to be a shorter waiting time, but it's still a big court. If you think about Peel, it encompasses Mississauga, Brampton, Caledon. It's a big demographic and a very big population. So they're pretty busy over there too.
Yeah, you're looking at
Ted's favorite city.
You're looking at about 1.5 million people.
Right.
Region appeal, right?
Yes, exactly. So I don't expect it to be a 6-week turnaround, but I think that it will be shorter than our Toronto wait time, which will be great because I have a condo that I'm paying condo fees on and I'm paying hydro and no heat because it's summertime, but all the bills that come with it because we cannot access that online bank. So Debbie Stanley is the bank and nice. I would like probate soon.
Debbie Stanley, we got to talk after the radio show today. I need some cash.
Just out of curiosity, how much is the monthly?
Yeah, fee? I was thinking of asking that too, Ted. Good question.
The condo fee?
Roughly, yeah.
Around $600 a month.
Okay. Plus other expenses, like you said.
Plus the other expenses.
Plus utilities, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then as Debbie just mentioned, you know, she can't sell the condo. You got to eat these fees for as long as it takes for the probate process to get completed. But for as long as it takes for Debbie to get her magical powers, then she can sell the condo if she wants to, or if the beneficiary wants to, whatever. But in the meantime, like it was for Mrs. Chips, who wanted to downsize the house that she lived in with Mr. Chips after he passed, she couldn't sell her house until it was probated. You can't sell this condo until it's probated. I mean, technically you can sell it, but you can't close it. So same difference. You can't, you know, you got to carry it for as long as it takes. And in Mrs. Chips' case, remember, in 2022, a lot of the markets, real estate market in the GTA went down for the first time in a long time. And I think we estimated that it probably resulted in $100,000 less for her selling price. So never mind the probate fee of 1.5%, which is what it is in Ontario. 1.5%, I maintain it's the highest in the country. Yeah, and people say, well, it's only 1.5%. It's only 15 million, Jason. 15,000 on a million, I should say. And other people say, I don't care, Jason. I've paid enough tax my whole life. I don't want to pay 10 cents more than I have to. Mm-hmm. Like, there's people who will move mountains to avoid taxes, and I get it. And in either case, I always say, really, the 1.5% is often the least of your worries. It's this stuff that Debbie's talking about and potential market risk, you know, having this condo frozen. I get it. Most of the time the condos are going up in value, but they didn't go up in 2022. Right? You never know. The condo, let's say the condo is worth $500,000 just for easy math. Well, that's $500,000 that the beneficiaries can't do something else with in the meantime. Mm-hmm. So what's the cost there? I mean, what if they could pay off a mortgage and stop making mortgage payments for the 6 months earlier? You know what I mean? What's 6 months of mortgage payments worth? That's worth something. So it's really hard to put a pin on what the cost is for probate, because it's going to be different in every situation, right? Depending on what the assets are, depending on what the beneficiaries want to do with the money, depending on whether or not you can sell the house or the condo, depending on how long the probate process takes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're just scratching the surface here.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to clarify to you how I mentioned that I'm paying a lot of the expenses. When I finally do have access to the financial assets, the bank account, the investments, the home, I can't just cut myself a check. I have to be able to provide proof for everything that I did pay for and that it was a legitimate estate expense. So what I have to do, or in my case, I do a spreadsheet and the date it was paid, what it was for, along with a copy of the invoice. And then when we're ready to repay me, I will actually send that to the beneficiaries and say, these are the costs I incurred, and make sure that they're very clear on the aspects of the executor's duties of making sure that the home was okay, that everything was paid for. So it's not a quick turnaround to be repaid either. I don't expect my money to be repaid really probably till the new year.
So are you entitled to interest on that money?
There's an argument that can be made saying yes, because I'm a lender to the estate. It's just, you know, I don't want to claim the interest on my income tax and get into all of that. So for me, it's just part of my role as the executor, but you certainly can. It puts people in a hard spot.
Sure. And that's a legitimate claim. I mean, let's just say it's $50,000 for whatever. Well, that's $50,000 that you didn't have earning interest somewhere else during that time period. You're out.
Absolutely.
You're out. You're the foregone interest. Simple
yes.
as that.
Yeah. And it wasn't an investment you were making.
I was going to say, you know, one of those silly low paying GICs that I dislike so much, you could have made a little bit of interest.
Right. Yes.
I would never recommend that, though. I strike that from the record, please. I would never recommend that to my listeners. But that's interesting. Very interesting. Thank you for the update. Look forward to it again, of course. You're not anticipating any other hurdles between now and receiving the certificate from the court, right?
No, we're dealing with selling the personal assets from the condo. So there has been some interesting items there, in particular, a big collection of books. And at first I thought books would be very easy to sell, but we're actually encountering where the stores that do purchase them, they have this overflow. So they don't want more books, but these are old books that have value. So it's funny how, unless you can find a buyer for something, it really has no value.
Boy. And I can't imagine the legwork involved in that stuff. Right? So,
yes, there's quite a bit of work involved.
You know, Facebook Marketplace and Kijiji and all this stuff, right? Yard sale? Are you having a yard sale?
Well, the thing is, too, about things like books and artwork. I mean, it's in the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah.
You can't really say, okay, well, here's a first edition of Shakespeare's Macbeth. The value is $25,000. When somebody else turns around and says, "Yeah, look at the quality of this thing here. It's worth maybe $12." You know, and then it's back and forth and back and forth, and it's like, you know, they'll drive you nuts.
Yeah, now you're paying for valuations, maybe. Things like that, just yeah. Wow.
That said,
if there's any books on Churchill, I'd be interested in buying those.
Okay, great. We will have to chat about that later.
Okay. Well, if the listeners want some more information about your services at ETP Canada, how do they reach out and touch you?
They can reach us at etpcanada.ca, 866-309-0387 is our phone number, and there's the option for our Guelph office and our Toronto office, which is very exciting. Our email is info@etpcanada.ca. And then let's not forget about Canada's favorite executor course, Learn How to Be an Executor, which is executorready.ca.
Before you go, you should give your, I know you're doing some volunteer work later this week. Give a plug to what you're doing on the 23rd for our listeners in the Guelph area. We have them. We know we have them.
Yes, absolutely. So I am part of Rotary's Rib Fest this year, which is at the Riverside Park in Guelph. And if any of our listeners would like to come by for the rib judging, I'm actually Vanna Whiting's the ribs this year. So I'd love to see some smiling faces.
Does that mean you get to eat them all and taste test them all?
You know, I don't, which seems unfair.
It sure does.
But it's for a great cause. We raise quite a bit of money for the community. It all goes back to all the different organizations within the community, which just makes everyone so happy.
Yeah, good stuff.
Love ribs. See you
also
there.
That. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Debbie.
Take care.
All right. Take care. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll check the... What do you want to do? You want to check the emails, or do you want to do something?
We got lots of stuff to do. We'll talk about it right after the break.
All right.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hey, it's Ted Wallachin for Tom's Place. Our fall merchandise is starting to arrive, and we've got massive amounts of summer clothing that needs to be cleared. Blowout prices on virtually everything, like designer suits, regularly up to $5.99, now from $167 to $267. Beautiful sports jackets, starting at only $167, and designer dress pants and shirts, all at $67. Check out our deals throughout the store on the very best of designer menswear. Huge savings off our already below retail prices. If you need a suit for an upcoming wedding or any special occasion, we are Toronto's one-stop suit shop. For the finest outfit for every occasion, there is no better time to find the perfect addition to your wardrobe. The summer blowout sale has been extended. Tom's Place is open daily, 11 to 6 weekdays, 10 to 5 Saturday, and 12 to 5 Sunday. For great deals, discover Tom's Place. 190 Baldwin in Kensington Market. Tom's Place will suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Avoid Probate Show. And once again, people say, why do you keep giving away the address so often and the phone number so often? Because we're getting new people every week and they don't know how to contact us necessarily. And sometimes if you don't have a pen handy or a pencil handy, you'll get a chance to write down the address. And you may have heard the address given to you 20 times already, but you've never been in the need of contacting Jason. But now you do, so now you need the address. So that's why you're getting it again. And the email address, for those of you who are interested, I know I feel like the bingo caller to see the eyes down, and your first number is info@avoidprobate.ca. info@avoidprobate.ca. There is a toll-free number to call as well, 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. 667-7628. And we invite you to drop by the website. It's www.avoidprobate.ca. There you will find a free probate calculator. You can play around with that and see roughly how much probate might be payable on your estate or your family's estate. And there's a button for anybody who missed a past show, or if you'd like to hear it again, just click the listen to the show button and you can access past programs. So there's lots of stuff for you there. Again, that's www.avoidprobate.ca. Now, this is an interesting story Jason has for you.
Thanks, Ted. So Ted touched on it at the top of the hour here about the emoji thing. Just explain a little bit. We're going to talk about, believe it or not, we're going to talk about signatures for the next few minutes. It is the Avoid Probate Show. So you know what? Signatures matter, of course. That might sound like something silly to say, but probate, you know, it's a legal process. We're trying to avoid it as much as we can. I often say when we have these consultations that are no charge, sometimes we can avoid 100% of the probate. It's very rare we can't avoid any of it. So we're usually in the middle somewhere, and that's fine, because the way I see it, avoiding some probate is better than avoiding none. Yeah. I mean, it's simple as that. And quite often we can do it at no cost to you. And yes, that sounds crazy, but call us for a consultation and we'll explain it to you. But getting back to the signature thing, the emoji thing, it was a farmer out west, Saskatchewan somewhere, I believe, and he was communicating by text with a grain purchaser. And they were going back and forth, and the purchaser was trying to make the deal. I'll buy X quantity. I don't remember the quantity of grain. You know, when it's ready, it wasn't ready, for X dollars. And the grain farmer replied, yep, okay, thumbs up emoji. And by the way, if you're not sure what an emoji is, it's the graphic. So it's the happy face. It's the sad face. It's the mad face. It's a bolt of lightning. It's a Christmas tree. It's
dollar sign,
whatever the little graphic is. There's thousands of them, people, flags, objects. Yeah. You know, I think the happy face or the faces and the thumbs up or thumbs down are probably the most popular.
Yep.
And that's what happened. So it just adds a little bit of character to your otherwise boring text message, right?
Yeah, and so, sometimes easier than spelling out a whole word and having it misspelled and
autocorrect.
Yeah. Oh gosh! So essentially, the farmer sends back a reply via text as opposed to writing any words. He just sends a picture. It's a drawing of a thumb pointing upwards. Thumbs up. International sign of yes. Thumbs up.
Okay. So time goes by, and the purchaser is waiting for his grain, and he doesn't get his grain. He's like, what is going on? I ordered this grain and we had a deal. He reaches out to the farmer and the guy's like, no, we didn't have a deal. You didn't sign a contract. I didn't agree to that. And he's like, you gave me a thumbs up, man, on the text message. That's a deal. So long story short, it went to court. Hey, that rhymed. Did you like that? Long story short, it went to court, which of course did not make it, which did make it a long story, I guess. So the judge ruled that, yes, the thumbs up emoji constitutes a signature, which meant there was a legally binding contract in place. And the grain farmer had to put his hand in his pocket. And I think it was $60,000 worth of grain. I can't imagine how much grain that is, Ted, but it's probably a lot, more than we need for our breakfast cereal. Anyway, that's what happened. So that's an emoji. That's the emoji story, which is new. You know, this technology is changing, you know, court decisions.
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is, I mean, because this has happened, this now becomes precedent, I believe.
Right.
Now, I don't know if this is this a provincial precedent? Is it a federal thing? I'm not sure. But because it has happened, somebody could now go back to court and say, well, I sent you a text message with a thumbs up. You didn't deliver the product.
And that's how these things work, right? The judges, they live for precedents so that they don't have to reinvent the wheel.
That's right.
I mean, the court process is already backed up. If there's a precedent already that answers the question, that's it. They just say, okay, with regard to case number, blah, 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 here's my ruling. Precedent set on this day, done. next, you know, that's the way it works. Oversimplification. I realize that. Don't call me if you're a lawyer to correct me on that, please. I get it. It's an oversimplification for the general public. But I want to tie that into something that happened to me this past week, which after 25 plus years of doing this work, it's never happened to me before. I was very surprised. So I got to tell the story. We look after clients' money, their investments. Part of the solution to avoiding the probate nightmare involves a transfer of your investment assets that are at the bank today over to an insurance company where we recreate a portfolio that everybody's comfortable with. It's not locked in. The money's not locked in. You can access it anytime you want. The transfer costs nothing most of the time. But now we can put beneficiaries on that money, which you couldn't do when it was at the bank, when we're talking about non-registered money. I know you can do it for your TFSA. Don't call me about that. I know you can, but you can't do it for your non-registered money at the bank. You can do it at the insurance company. That avoids the probate. It's that simple. Yes, it is so simple. I know people are saying, how come I didn't hear this before? The bank's not going to tell you to move your money. We help you do that. It's a great solution. So when this happens, of course, sometimes people, I mentioned the money's not locked in. It's because it's not. And these clients of ours at avoidprobate.ca, we're a team. They bought a property. That's fine. They've always wanted to have this property. They were able to, you know, life changed, and now they could afford to do what they wanted to do. And so they needed some money, and they called me up and said, hey, Jason, you said we could access these funds. Yeah, of course. What do you need? So we need X number of dollars. And it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's neither here nor there. So husband and wife, it was a 50-50. Like the request was the same dollar amount from each of their accounts. They're buying the property together, I suppose. Fine. Okay, there's a process for that. Of course, the process requires a signature. We have something called limited trading authority, which we can use without signatures. But in this case, I needed a signature. I submitted the forms. The husband's redemption, it's called a redemption, was processed no problem. His wife's redemption was rejected because they didn't like the signature. They said it didn't match the other documents on file. So I have copies. I check. And you know what? They were right. First of all, I was shocked that they even checked the signature. I just assumed they just processed the stuff, especially when the money is going to the owner. Mm-hmm. If it's my money and I'm asking for it, you know, where's the concern? If it's my money and Ted's asking for it, that's different, right? But it was going to the owner. Really interesting. They wanted to see the ID. Of course, I have ID. The problem was, Ted, that the signature on the ID was even worse. It was even less recognizable. So I couldn't use the ID as the base, because it looked even more different. People's signatures change over time. Anyway, that's what happened. We got it done, but signatures are important. And yeah, the institutions, when they're doing their job properly, they're checking this stuff for your protection.
You know, when you're a young kid, it reminds me, you know, when you're first learning cursive writing and you decide, okay, I need to get a really cool signature. I want my autograph to look real cool in case I'm ever a baseball or a hockey star or a rock star. And so you mess around with your autograph and your signature, and you go through different variations as you grow. But this is something to keep in mind. You know, once you've reached adulthood and you've got a signature, try to stick with it, because you don't want to run into the kind of situation that this poor lady did. All right, coming up in a moment, what happens when one spouse dies and the other one is not on title? We'll deal with that problem. And we'll remind you as well, if you'd like us to come to your group, your church, wherever you happen to gather with folks and talk about Avoid Probate, it's the Probate Roadshow, available for free to you right across this glorious province of ours. All you got to do is just get a hold of Jason at info@avoidprobate.ca, and we'll see if we can coordinate a date that works for both you and for us, and we'll come out and do a presentation for you. Then Jason does a question and answer period, and he'll even do a personal question and answer if you want to keep your questions out of other people's ears. And we do that at absolutely no charge. So again,
a lot of fun.
Go to info@avoidprobate.ca and request the Avoid Probate Roadshow. Back in a moment. Stay with us.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
A diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or dementia for you or someone in your life can be challenging. You don't have to face it alone, especially when help and support are so close at hand. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario can connect you with experts, education and care, valuable resources, and people who really want to help. Connect with us. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario at ourconnectionsmatter.com.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And a good morning once again. Welcome back. This is the Avoid Probate Show. Thank you so much for joining us this Sunday. If it's your first time here, welcome aboard. Hope you're enjoying it. Tell your friends about it. And if you've been with us for a while, thank you very much for your loyalty. We appreciate it very much. And we would like to inform you that the information provided in this program is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation, of course, is different. And so if you have legal or investment questions, you should speak with a licensed expert. We have those on hand. And in order for us to connect you with them, you can connect with us via email. It's info@avoidprobate.ca, info@avoidprobate.ca, or telephone. It's a toll-free call at 1-844-667-7628. That's 1-844-667-7628. Off to the mailbag we go, Mr. Laidler.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. Before you get to that email that I know you're going to share with the listeners, we're going to talk about it. I just want to add something. You mentioned the loyal listeners that have been with us for a while. You're absolutely right. You're not wrong at all. And I know for a fact, because just this past week, once again, I met with an individual, a probate avoider. We like to call him on the Avoid Probate Show. And this gentleman said he's been listening for a long time, a year and a half or something like that. And he finally just decided to his words, hey, I'm going to give that probate guy a call, you know, and wonderful, wonderful meeting. Definitely we can help the situation. Every situation is different. That's why we recommend the no charge consultations. We'll come to you, explain everything, how it works, what the process looks like, what it will cost, if it costs anything. Sometimes it costs nothing. I know that's hard to believe. Explain how that works. And in this case, it was so nice. I mean, we talk about coming to you, and we do, and it doesn't matter where you are. By the way, shout out to our new friends in Schaumburg. You know, we got a call from Schaumburg recently, and we have new friends there too. But this was so, I think this might have been, I mean, this might have set a record for closeness in terms of proximity to where I live, way north of the city in beautiful Beaverton, Ontario. I think, yeah, I didn't think of it at the time, but I bet you, because when I punched it into the map to see how far I was going to, how I got to plan my trips, right? How long do I have to leave in advance? 12 minutes, Ted. 12 minutes.
Beauty.
Not 3.5 hours to Tilsonburg and back. But anyway, that's okay. Doesn't matter. We'll come to you no matter where we got to go. We want to avoid probate everywhere. Let's, okay.
Here's an interesting email that I can't recall in the 2 years I've been doing this, one that's similar to this. Hi, my dad recently passed away, and my mom was taken off the house title in 2011. They were still living together and legally married. Is there a way for her to still sell the house without going through probate? So yeah. It doesn't make it clear. She doesn't make it clear why mom was taken off the title.
I know, that's interesting. I thought I wondered the same thing.
I mean, maybe it was like a separation, but they decided, though they're going to be separate, they're not going to being divorced. And
it also happens for business reasons. There's a few reasons why some people will not go on title or be removed from a title. But in any case, it is what it is. And I've told this story before. I know this. We get phone calls once in a while from, well, in this last case, it was a granddaughter calling on behalf of grandma. Grandpa had passed away, very similar to this. And I am going to address this email for sure. But this phone call granddaughter was not happy. That's me being polite. Hollering at me on the phone because the province was requiring probate on the house that grandma and grandpa had been living in for a long, long time. And just because grandpa was gone, they wanted to be probated. They're married, been in the house forever. And the family just couldn't understand what was going on. And I think it was $18,000 was the number she gave me. She goes, my grandmother doesn't have $18,000 to pay this probate bill. And she goes, and I don't understand why she should have to. Well, she wasn't on title. And to use old stereotype here in this story, you know, in 1950, grandpa bought a house in the city for $6,000 or whatever. Grandma didn't work most of the time. So she didn't work. She was looking after the kids. That's work. I get it. But she didn't work outside of the home. She didn't have an income. So she wasn't put on the title quite often. There was no need to put her on the title because they didn't need her income to get the mortgage or anything like that. It was just grandpa on the title. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to 2023. Grandpa passes away. Grandma's never been on title. In this case, this lady or somebody was, and then they weren't. But often, you know, in this story that I'm talking about here, grandma was never on title. And now because of that, the house has to go through probate. And people are losing their minds because they're saying she still lives there. She still lives there. And she's been there 60 some odd years. This is ridiculous. And it is ridiculous. But that's the rule. And so the short answer to this listener, and thank you for the email, Dad's gone, so Mom is not on title. Mom has to pay the probate on this property, which is terrible, I think. Now, having said that, I'm going to use this as a segue to talk about, remind the listeners about this strategy using something called a first dealings matter. First, as in, you know, first place in the race, first dealings matter. Because it's the first time, potentially, that the title has been changed since the province revamped the registry system back in the early 80s. So this is total speculation because I do not know how long they've been in this house for. I used the example a minute ago about 60 years in the same house. It doesn't have to be that long. If you are in the same property that you were in when the province revamped the land registry system back in the early 80s, and it was different times for different municipalities. So there's no fixed date that I can share with the listeners. It depends on where you live. But if you are still in that house and you haven't changed the title since then, you may be eligible. You may be exempt from probate. There is a test. The test is strict. Part of the test requires a will. So if there's a will, okay, check that box. Another part of the test, the real strict part, in my opinion, is that no probate can be required on any other part of the estate. So let me say that again. You might be exempt on the house, but if there's money at the bank or something, other property that requires probate at all, you lose the exemption. And in my mind, that's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And I've asked lawyers this several times, and I've said to basically, why does the land registry office care if the bank wants to probate my mother's checking account? What does one have to do with the other? Why do I lose my exemption as a first dealings matter just because the manager at the bank woke up on the wrong side of the bed and wants to probate my mother's checking account? I don't understand why one is connected to the other. I still don't. I mean, I get answers from the lawyers and the answers, they're not satisfactory. This is something I think we should shed more light on. It's not fair that just because you got to probate the checking account, you lose your exemption on the property. It just reeks of a tax grab. That's the way I see it. Mm-hmm. It's an easy way for the province to cancel your exemption. And I don't think it's fair. I think it's pure tax grab. And if there are listeners out there who agree with me, let me know. Or if you disagree with me, let me know. I don't know. Maybe it's something we should be contacting Queen's Park about, writing letters.
Now, in the case of this situation where the father passes away and the mother was taken off title, so the probate kicks into effect here. If he had $100,000 in his checking account, that just immediately goes to his wife, does it not?
It depends. We don't know if there's a will, first of all. Mm-hmm. We don't know if she's joint on the account. If she's not joint on the account, then the will has to speak to it, if there is one. And if there isn't one, well, now the province, the provincial default rules kick into effect. But for spouses, there's special rules. But it just, we don't know. We don't have enough information to make that determination. Now, if this listener wants to talk with us and get some more information and get some answers and can give us some more information about, is there a will and is it, does it pass the first dealings test? I'd love to know. So hopefully the listener's listening again. Thank you again for taking the time to write in with the email. Of course, we maintain confidentiality always. But this is, it was a great little email because it does, it's surprising people like the granddaughter and that family was shocked. So we're putting this out there as a PSA. You know, if you think your grandparents are in this situation, get grandma added to the title. I'm stereotyping. I get it. But normally that's the case. Normally it's grandma who's not on the title. And that's what happened here, right? Dad's gone. Mom wasn't on the title. We don't know why. It doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, there are cases out there. And there are also cases out there that qualify as first dealings matters. But those exemptions are getting, you know, they're getting canceled because of some stupid probate issue on $30,000 in a checking account. So it's not cool. It's a problem. This is the Avoid Probate Show. We can help you avoid this stuff. We can avoid the probate on the house using a Bare Trust, B-A-R-E, Bare Trust. If you haven't heard of it before, don't feel bad. You're in good company. We're talking about it here. No one else is talking about it. I don't know why. Call us if you want more information on the Bare Trust. That will avoid the probate on the property, not just the house, the cottage, the rental property, whatever, real estate in general. Let's put it that way. And, you know, there's the first dealings option and there's the joint ownership option. There's ways we can handle this in a smart, efficient manner. So we'll leave it at that, Ted. Great email again. Thank you for taking the time to write it. If you've got questions, listeners, don't hesitate. Go to the website, or Ted has given out the email address a few times. Shoot us a quick note. That's a three line note, and we talked about it for 10 minutes. It's good stuff. Well, are you going to go to the CNE, Ted? I think we got to pack up and head over.
I don't know yet.
Lunch in the food building's on me. How's that? Okay, listeners, thank you again for joining us here on the Avoid Probate Show on this Sunday morning. Special thanks to Kelly, our awesome producer, for taking care of us from the other side of the glass. Thanks to Debbie Stanley for her update. Thanks to Ted Walshen for his decades of radio excellence. So before we go, Ted, your podcast, what's going on?
Gary Chowan, hairstylist to the stars. He spent years and years in Los Angeles and worked with, he was like the personal hairstylist to Cher. And here in Canada, he worked on a number of different shows like Super Dave Osborne and Bizarre. And he's got some great, great stories of celebrities that he's worked with and peculiar situations he's found himself in. And so we've had him on once before and invited him to come back to share those stories. Lots of fun.
Did he do your hair this morning?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
And later on the month, in fact, in, the last Thursday, the 31st of August, when we drop our latest podcast every Thursday, we're going to be talking to Bill Vigors. And I've done the interview with Bill. I did it yesterday. He's written a book called Terry and Me, the inside story of Terry Fox's Marathon of Hope. He traveled with Terry and his brother and his friend from the marathon. And it is amazing, the logistics behind that whole project. The fact that Terry was, I mean, consider this as a man running a prosthetic leg back in 1980. So the prosthetics were nothing like they are today.
Okay.
He was doing the equivalent of one full marathon a day, broken into two segments.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's really quite amazing.
22 miles or something like that.
Yeah, 26 miles, I think, is what it is. So
it's a long way to run.
it's an amazing story. It really is. And it talks about how the Canadian Cancer Society, how split they are. I mean, it's like it's the people in Hamilton didn't want to support it. The people in Toronto didn't want to support it. Then they finally came around. People in Quebec, you know, weren't supporting it because they didn't speak French. And years later, it turns out that the people in Quebec raised more money per capita, the students in Quebec, during the Terry Fox run, than any part of the country. So there's a lot of interesting history to this, and a lot of a lot of fabulous insights. And boy, what an individual. I mean, this is a true Canadian hero. No doubt about it.
No argument here.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Okay. All right. We're going to call it a day. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Please join us next week here for another edition of the Avoid Probate Show.
Have a good week.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.